Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And if you would like to call in and you're in the L.A. area, the guest call-in number is area code 424-258-9337. And everywhere else, including right here in the beautiful, but gee, I was hoping for a little rain this morning, San Francisco Bay Area, the call-in number is toll-free 877-697-9725. You can also log into our chat room where, and I cannot stress the dedication any more than this, producer Kina, even though she is on vacation, is manning the chat room, helping me out, totally appreciated. So you can log on and say hi, and or you can just hang out in there, and if a question comes up, please feel free to type it out, and kind of will make sure that I get it. So today we're talking about what I call empathic kleptomania. And what I mean by that is that tendency to want to take on things that do not belong to us. I was thinking, I like to open up the description of each episode with some sort of a little quote. And I couldn't think of anything more accurate than the famous mom quote, "Put that down. It's not yours, and you don't know where it's been." And as a mom, I remember saying that. And as a child, I remember hearing it. And when I think about empathic kleptomaniacs, I really can't think of something better to tell them. Put it down, it's not yours, and you don't know where it's been. It really is a tightrope when your nature is to really be very sensitive to what's going on around you. And for my empathic brothers and sisters, I feel it for you because it really is sometimes very difficult walking in this world and feeling so much. It's like constantly having 100 radios on around you, and you can't find the switch to turn them off. This is especially difficult when there's a lot of emotion in the general society, as there is right now for a lot of different reasons. There is everything from joy to rage to outrage to despair to fear to love to everything. And when the tendency is to take on things and try to help folks feel better, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm a doctor. And most of my day, every day, is spent in working with helping people to feel better. And as I've said before, and I will say again, there's light and shadow in everything, including that desire to help. Now, kleptomania is an interesting scenario that can occur inside certain folks, usually as a result of some sort of a chemical imbalance adding to an issue with impulse control. Now, the symptoms of kleptomania may include powerful urges to steal items that you don't need, feeling increased tension leading up to the theft, feeling pleasure or gratification while stealing, and feeling terrible guilt or shame after the theft. So let's take a look at that from the viewpoint of our empathic kleptomaniacs out there. Powerful urges to steal items that you don't need. How about an overwhelming urge to involve yourself in an issue that is not yours, did not belong to you, and quite honestly, you don't need the grief. And yet, when we, I will say we, encounter it, when we see a need that in our hearts we feel we can fill in, there is just this overwhelming, powerful urge to step in, to add our energy to it, to see if we can shift it so that, you know, generally a happier time can be had by all. And there's that piece of that that we want to take it on for that person to bear their burdens because we're so much stronger. And we can bear it and we can relieve them of it. Next, feeling increased tension leading up to it. Let's say for some reason you're not able to take that action. Either you can't get to the person or you're told, look, fine, whatever, mind your own business. Having that impulse blocked, that impulse to help, that impulse to realign that person, having that blocked can create a lot of tension inside of us because we're going against something that we really feel we need to do. The next one, feeling pleasure or gratification while feeling. When you're in there, in that moment with someone, doesn't it feel good? Because you're right in your empathic heart. You're there, you're present with the person, and you're feeling good about yourself because you can see maybe it's creating a shift in that person, and it just is amazing how thoroughly addictive that sensation can be. That I'm hoping type of energy. Next, feeling terrible guilt or shame after the theft. Once you've taken something on that truly does not belong to you, the other person, you know, they may feel 100% better, and they're cool, and they're okay, and they thank you and tell you what an awesome person you are and what a great listener, and bye-bye. And you're standing there, and you've got their whole thing just dropped in your lap. Now it's yours, and you've got to figure out what to do with it. And maybe your plate was already pretty full. And because you couldn't help yourself, now the plate is that much fuller. And maybe it was even overflowing to start off with. So there is definitely a connection. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? No. And every once in a while, is it the right thing to do to, if you see somebody who is just really overwhelmed, to go, okay, time out. All right, let's breathe. Let's take a look at this. I'm here for you. You're not alone. Okay, let's see how we can shift this. Doing that every once in a while is a good thing. And it's an important thing because sometimes in that moment, that person may need you more than anything else. And is it required in every moment? And the answer to that would be no. It's really cool when we can help somebody shoulder a burden, when we can carry it with them, take the other end of the footlocker. But does that mean that we're supposed to take the entire load onto ourselves? And figure, well, we're strong enough to handle it. We're strong enough to be able to deal with that, and this person isn't. First off, that does them a little bit of a disservice. And second, how did you get so strong? Well, my guess would be is you got so strong because you had to shoulder a lot. Many things can happen in a lifetime. And a lot of them can be really, really, really hard. So when we go through those really dark, stinky, this is not fun pieces of our lives, we come out the other side and we're stronger. Like, you know what? That may have taken me down to my knees, but it didn't keep me there. And I stood up, I dusted myself off, and I moved forward, and doggone it, I'm proud of me. And I know that if that comes around again, it can't beat me. It's important to let people experience that. It's important sometimes for us to suffer, because it's through suffering that we realize, as the Dalai Lama stated, pain is inevitable, suffering is a choice. To allow someone to have that choice. Because sometimes people are going to just be miserable no matter what. They're going to make the exact same mistakes over and over again. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And they obviously need to work their way through being unhappy so they can really figure out what it means to be happy, to claim it for themselves. And I recently did a talk talking about empathy and dialing it down and how to dial it down, because it's not something we need to use all the time. It does not have to be on all the time. It can be a tool in our toolkit that when it is appropriate to take it out, okay, let's pull out the empathy here. I feel an empathy moment that needs to happen. And then we can gauge how much. Okay, do I need a little bit of empathy or do I need a huge amount of empathy? Where is it on this scale? Where is it on the line that I need to take this to in order not for me to feel better, but for the other person to gain as much as they're supposed to gain? Empathy and sympathy are two different animals, actually. Sympathy is, I feel for you. Empathy is, I feel for you, and I feel it necessary for me to become energetically and emotionally involved in your process. Don't take what doesn't belong to you, because it may turn out that that's what that person needs the most in that moment. When we talk about the process of addiction, and often there's the phrase, hitting bottom. You've got to hit rock bottom in order to be able to really own the process of recovery, the process of, oh my God, how did I get here? I don't want to be here. I don't like this. And I don't like myself when I'm like this. To prevent someone from hitting that point keeps them from getting the full lesson. And yes, we feel better when we get to do that, when we get to take things on for people. And is it about what makes us feel better, or is it about what's right for that person? Is it that we want to be there for someone, or we need to be there for someone? And I've touched on this in a lot of different, you know, in a few different shows. And something just kind of came up that I was thinking about it quite a bit, and how it does have the light and the shadow side. Everything has a light and shadow side. And when I say shadow, I don't mean evil. Shadow is just that darker piece, that piece that maybe we're not so comfortable with. That piece that leads to imbalance as opposed to balance. And light and shadow themselves have light and shadow. So it's important to remember that there are no clear guidelines. There's no yes and no. There's no, okay, if this, this, and this is present, then this is the choice I need to make. My friends, we're all winging it. Quite honestly, We are doing the best we can with what we have at that moment. And we make the best decisions we can in any given moment. Is every decision, even if it's our best decision, does that mean it is the best decision? No. But it's ours. And we cannot start faulting ourselves for the choices that we make when we make them with the best possible heart. In that moment, this is the best thing that I could think of. Now, once the moment's passed, you can say, wow, okay, looking back, was that really the best choice I could have made? Maybe yes, maybe no. But not from a blame place, but wow, if I had it to do over again, knowing what I know now, now that I have more information, now that I have more wisdom, when faced with that circumstance again, I am going to make possibly a different choice. Maybe now that I know X, Y, and Z, I'll have an additional tool in my toolkit as far as how I can respond. For empaths, one of the best things that you can do when faced with a reaction to engage, a reaction to step in, take a breath and really touch base with yourself. Is this something that I need to interact with, or is this just something I can tell that person, you know what, I'm here and I'm with you. And I know it's lousy, but you know what? You're not in this alone. And the two of us are going to see this through. Now, is that engaging with the person? Yes. Is it letting them know that they're not alone? And through that, sometimes that's all that needs to be said. You don't need to engage your energy in it. You don't need to pull it into yourself. Sometimes all you need to do is let somebody know they're not alone. Let them know that maybe you've had a similar circumstance, and while you don't know exactly how they feel, that you can understand that they're hurting and that you're there for them. See, that's not taking on anything. That's actually giving. You are giving of yourself in a way that allows somebody the best possible gift. The gift of going through it, but of not going through it alone, of not feeling abandoned, of not feeling that they weren't good enough or strong enough. Tell them you believe in them. Tell them that you're there to help them, to be there with them in this, but that you know that they have the tools to be able to handle it, that you're going to be right there, right next to them. I remember when my sons were learning to ride bikes and when the training wheels come off. And I was standing there and, you know, and I've got them on the, got their hands on the handlebars and I've got one and the other hand's on the seat and I'm running next to them. And I was significantly younger and running next to them. And the whole time it's like, okay, pedal, you can do it, you can do it. Pedal, pedal, pedal. That's it. You got it. You got it. And I start letting go and start letting go and start letting go. And then watch them take off. And maybe I watch them fall. Then I go up. It's like, you know what? You almost had it. You almost had it. Here, let me try it again. You know, we'll try it. Because usually when the training wheels are ready to come off, it's not the parent that decides. It's the kid. They say, you know, I want the training wheels off. I'm big. I can do this. And they may fall. But it's not like, oh, you poor thing, that's it. I'm going to spend my whole life running next to you. Don't worry, I won't let you fall. Sometimes we got to let them fall. And then they get up and they realize, okay, that's the worst thing that happened. But this thing isn't going to beat me. I can do this. And when we're there, present with someone, because we know how it feels when somebody is present with us. without judgment, without story. I mean, sometimes even you don't even want the advice. You just want somebody who will say, you know what, I will stand here. I will stand in this fire with you. And I will be right at your back. And no matter what, I'm here. And we're going to do this. And you're going to do this because I know you can. Having somebody say that, even as they're letting go of the bike that you're desperately trying to keep balance, that you're desperately trying to pedal. My friends, we're all on that bike with the training wheels just off every once in a while. Situations come up and we're pedaling as hard as we can and it's wobbling and we're scared. And to have somebody right there, you know what? I'm right here. I'm going to let you pedal it. You got to steer it. You've got to find your balance. But I'm right here because I know you can do it. The training wheels always come off. Sometimes even when we don't think we're ready. And we got to pedal. And when we're with somebody who we see is, you know, maybe not quite as, you know, settled, a little bit shaky, a little bit scared, we can give them the energy that will support them. Use that empathy to really read them, because it goes both ways. You can transmit and you can receive. See what your empathy tells you about what they need in that moment. Do they need you to be holding the bike? Maybe. But be really honest with yourself. Maybe they just need you to run next to it. Let them take it, but for them to know that they're not alone. Because I tell you what, anybody who's ever taught a child to ride a bike has seen the look on their face when they got it. When they turn and they're riding towards you, and a grin on their face because they now have something that no one and nothing can ever take away from them. They have one of their little victories. And in that moment, the most important thing you can do is be the one to witness it. Let them see the pride in your face. Let them see that big grin as you cheer for them. Yes, yes, I knew you could do it. Sometimes that's one of the best things that you can do. Because whether the bike tips over or whether they ride it, the important thing is that they own it. That that's their moment. That time belongs to them. It doesn't belong to us. But we can hold it for them and bear witness. We don't have to take what doesn't belong to us and what we truly don't need. I know a lot of folks who will, you know, they are tremendous counselors and, you know, they'll sit and they'll listen and they go through all of it. And then when they hang up the phone, it's, oh my God, yeah, I need a clearing bath. It's like, yeah, because you just took on something that didn't belong to you. We all need to let everyone deal with their own stuff. They can get help. And in a lot of cases, you know, they need help. But do they need saving? It can be your place to help, but it isn't your place to save. That's their choice and their agreement. And when we're on the other side, it's no one's job to save us. We can get help. But that saving piece, that's got to come from inside of us. Even if you're getting help with something, the desire to do it and the work, the main part of the work, has got to be ours. We need to hold on to that. Because there's a lot of people who will very happily turn over all of their burdens and let you just take it on. And then they go out and find more burdens. And then they come and dump them on you. And then they go and they come back and it creates this cycle. And it's not even really appreciated. They say they do, but it really doesn't sink in. And they don't get the lesson that they need to get. Because I know that it's been those hard, dark, and stinky places that I hated being. That it was the most important for the people around me to let me figure it out, to guide me, to show the way, and then get out of the way and let me do my work. Because once I came out of it, I was stronger than I thought possible. I was proud of myself, and I was ready to step up into the next piece. So, as moms everywhere used to say, put that down. It's not yours, and you don't know where it's been. Because ultimately, that makes it a better experience for both of you. Bear witness. Hold space. Give guidance when asked, and only for what's asked. And then we don't have to worry about empathic kleptomania, because then it comes down to giving and not taking. Well, thank you for sharing this space with me. Thank you for sharing this time. Thank you for maybe taking a moment and seeing how you can make some changes in your life. And no matter what you do, it's great, as long as it's the best thing you know to do in that moment. No worries, no blame. So if you would like to find out more about the work I do and generally about my practice or anything else, you can go to my website, www.the-healing-house.com. You can also email me with questions, comments, concerns at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. And if you have a question or a topic that you would like me to address in a program, please feel free to submit that, and I would love to. Also, I am available to come wherever you are if you'd like to have me speak to your group, or if you would like to set up a one-on-one consultation, then you can feel free to do so. I can also be reached at 408-372-2840. So next week, we will be back. And I was actually thinking about doing kind of a contest. Log in to the, or email me at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. And for all the people who send me an email, I will offer a one-hour private consultation. And that will be between you and I. We can set it up on Skype. We can figure it out. And you will have my time, my attention to discuss anything you would like to discuss for a full hour. And as I said, if anybody has a topic that they would like to suggest that, you know, maybe you've got a concern about, maybe you're curious about, please feel free to send that out to me. For those of you in the San Jose Bay Area, you can maybe come to one of our meetups. There's a website called meetup.com, and you can log on there, look up Healing House Events, and you can see some of the local events I'm doing. So if anybody comes to a local event and says that you are a Healing House Radio listener, you will get a free copy of my book. So I wish you all blessing. I wish you all balance. I wish you peace in your exchanges of energy. Remember, it's always important to have an equal exchange of energy with people. May you receive as much as you give, and may you give as much as you receive. And may we all be as patient with ourselves and each other as our Creator is with us. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care, and we'll see you next time.